All right, Joe, I try to start with something funny, but here I go again. I heard about this young man. One day he was talking to God and he said, God, what's a million years like to you? God said, son, a million years to me is like 1 second to you. Thought about it and said, well, God, what's $1 million like to you? God said, son, $1 million to me is like 1 penny to you. Thought about it some more and said, God, would you give me a penny? God said, sure, just a second. All right, y'all, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about a never doubt mindset. We all face situations where we don't see a way out. How we can get well, or how we can accomplish a dream, how our family can be restored. All the facts say it's not going to happen. That's when these thoughts of doubt and discouragement come. If we're not careful, we'll live worried and give up on what we're believing for. But Paul said in Ephesians 3, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish infinitely more than your greatest request. God didn't say, never doubt how you feel, or never doubt because of a medical report, never doubt the financial struggle. We're human. Doubt comes to us all. These times we think, this doesn't seem possible. We're looking at it in our own ability. But God said, never doubt what I can do. Never doubt my mighty power. Never doubt God can open doors you can't open. Never doubt God can heal you despite the diagnosis. Never doubt God can bring the right people, divine connections into your life. Maybe your child is off course and running with the wrong crowd, and you could live stressed, can't sleep at night. God is saying, never doubt I can turn him around. Never doubt I can bring him into his purpose. But what causes us to get discouraged is when we look at circumstances only in our ability. Seems too big, too much, too late. That's okay. You're not doing life by yourself. There is a force for you greater than any force trying to stop you. And at times you'll feel a disadvantage. What you're up against is bigger and stronger. You don't have the connections, the courage, the finances. On your own, you're stuck, but never doubt God's mighty power. He stopped the sun for Joshua. He parted the Red Sea for Moses. He brought 3 teenagers out of a fiery furnace without the smell of smoke. He opened prison doors for Paul and Silas. He raised Lazarus back to life. He took Gideon from afraid and insecure to a mighty hero that delivered the Israelites. He healed my mother of terminal cancer. He gave us a basketball arena to have church in. The scripture says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You may have situations that seem impossible and over your head. I'm not saying you're not going to feel doubt. I'm saying never doubt God's mighty power. Never doubt what the creator of the universe can do. That setback, that impossibility is a setup for him to show out in your life. The way you conquer doubt is switch over from what you can do to what God can do. When my father passed and I stepped up to pastor the church, I felt inadequate and over my head. I didn't have the training and the experience. My dad had this big personality, strong, powerful, but I was more quiet and reserved. And all these thoughts bombarded my mind. Joy, you're not enough. You don't have what it takes. You're going to look like a fool. The truth is, I had doubts in my ability, doubts whether I was strong enough, doubts whether the church would make it, would people continue to come. But what kept me going, the reason I didn't give in to my doubts, was because I never doubted what God could do. I believed that He is all powerful, that nothing can stand against Him, that when we are weak, His power shows up the greatest. I kept reminding myself, you're the God who chose me before I could choose you. You're the God who knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. The God who goes before me and makes crooked places straight. The God who fights my battles. The God who has crowned me with your favor. You're not doing life on your own. Quit focusing on just your ability, your talent, your background, your resources. That's going to cause you to doubt, get discouraged. To reach your destiny, you're going to face things that are over your head, where you're outnumbered, you don't have the experience, the funds, and this legal situation should sink you, and man, it seems too late to accomplish your dreams. This is when many people quit believing, live worried. Try a different approach. God, I may have a lot of good reasons to doubt, but I am never going to doubt your mighty power. I know you're still on the throne. I know you still part Red Seas. You still bring dead things back to life. You still heal the sick. You still multiply the loaves and fish. You still take those who are afraid and make them into mighty heroes. Anyone can get discouraged. Anyone can talk themselves out of their dreams. I'm asking you to be a never doubt person. Never doubt what God can do. Never doubt His mighty power to turn things around. Never doubt His favor to open doors you couldn't open. Never doubt His restoration to give you beauty for the ashes, to pay you back for the wrongs, to turn your mourning into dancing. Because when we go through difficult things and things that are not fair, those never lies start playing. You'll never be happy again, and you'll never meet anyone new. This loss, this breakup, how you were raised, man, it puts you at a disadvantage. Don't believe those lies. God knows everything you've been through, every hurt, every injustice, every lonely night. He said in Isaiah that He will pay you back double for the unfair things that have happened. Instead of dwelling on the never lies, come over to the never doubt mindset. Yes, I've had some bad breaks, but I know this is not how my story ends. God, I believe your mighty power is at work. That you're a God of justice, that you won't just bring me out, but you'll bring me out better than I was before. This is what David did. He was out in the shepherd's fields, a teenager, taking care of his father's sheep. He was the youngest of 8 sons, and his brothers were in the army in a prestigious position. He's stuck in the fields, lonely, at a disadvantage. One day his father asked him to take lunch to the brothers. They were in another city. That's when he heard Goliath taunting the Israelites, making fun of God's people. All the Israeli soldiers, they ran and hid. They were so afraid. Of course, Goliath was a giant. He stood over 9 feet tall. But something rose up in David, some kind of fire on the inside. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He went to Saul and told him that he wanted to fight Goliath. Saul said, "David, you're just a boy. You're too small, too young. You don't have the experience, the training. Don't let people talk you out of what God put in your heart. There will always be a Saul, always somebody telling you what you can't do. You're not enough. You can't get well. Your business is not going to make it. Do yourself a favor, tune all that out. They don't control your destiny. They didn't breathe life into you. They didn't call you, equip you, anoint you. God did." David went out to face this giant. Goliath was almost twice his size. Goliath had a full set of armor, a shield that weighed 125 pounds. He was their most skilled warrior, the champion of the Philistine army. Here, David was a shepherd. He had no training, no armor, no shield. All he had was a slingshot and a few stones. How could he have this boldness, this faith, when all the circumstances were against him? Opposition much bigger, people telling him not to do it. He gives us his secret. He said, "Goliath, you come against me with a sword and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." He was saying, in effect, "Yes, I doubt my size. Yes, I doubt my equipment. Yes, I doubt my training, but I will never doubt the mighty power of my God. I may be half your size, but I know the God in me is more powerful than anything you can do. I may only have a slingshot, but I know this slingshot with the favor of God is more powerful than your weapons. David wasn't discouraged because of his lack of resources, lack of ability, lack of size. He knew God was fighting for him, that he had a secret weapon, something that King Saul couldn't see. David's father that left him out in the fields, he didn't recognize it. Goliath couldn't see it. When Goliath first saw David, he laughed and said, "Am I a dog that you'd come at me with a stick?" David put a stone in, slung that rock, hit Goliath in the forehead, and knocked him unconscious. David had less equipment, less training, but he never doubted God's mighty power. Don't doubt what God has working in you, not just what you're hoping for, but to do infinitely beyond your wildest dreams. On the way to your destiny, there are going to be some giants. You can't become who you were created to be without opposition. With the giant, thoughts of doubt will come. This sickness is too big. Your business is not going to make it. That family issue will never resolve. You're right where David was, looking at a giant twice your size. You can do like the other men in the army, run, hide, get talked out of it. Or you can deal with doubt a different way, like David, not denying the giant, not psyching yourself up, saying, "I don't feel fear. I don't really have this problem." It's okay to be honest. "God, I have doubts in what I can do. This giant looks way over my head. I know in the natural I don't have a chance, but God, I will never doubt your mighty power. I know you're fighting my battles. You're breathing on my slingshot. You're going to show yourself strong in my life." See, when I say a never doubt mindset, I don't mean you're not going to have doubts about your ability and thoughts telling you it's never going to work. Those thoughts come to us all. But you have to have this knowing, this trust, that even though I may doubt my ability, God, I will never doubt what you can do. I received an email from a young woman. She was born with spina bifida in it. 2 years old, she had to have surgery to untether her spinal cord. And her parents were told she'd never be able to walk, or run, or do any kind of physical activity. They had all these good reasons to doubt. Doubt that she could live a normal life, doubt that she could go to school, doubt that she'd ever get married. They were facing a giant. Medically speaking, she would be in a wheelchair and always limited. These parents had been coming to Lakewood for many years, and they understood that what's impossible with men is possible with God. And they never tried to deny the facts, deny the medical report, but they didn't let the doubt stay. They didn't dwell on their lack of ability and what the report said. Their attitude was, "Even though we don't see a way, God, we know you can make a way. We may doubt what we can do, but we will never doubt your mighty power. You can do what medicine can't do. You can heal our daughter." And sometimes we're not seeing breakthroughs and our giant is not falling because we're only looking at our ability. We don't have the resources. We can't get well, medically speaking. That relative's always going to be off course. We're looking at it in the natural, but God is supernatural. He's going to do things in your life that go beyond reasoning, things that are out of the ordinary and uncommon. You couldn't plan it. You couldn't put it on paper. It's going to defy the odds. Every day, her mother would exercise her little legs, and the whole time thanking God for her healing and speaking faith over her. At 11 months old, much to the doctor's surprise, she started walking. They couldn't explain it. And she went on to join the children's choir here at Lakewood. And she loved to sing and dance. But at the age of 10, she had a problem with her spinal cord and she had to have an emergency surgery. When she woke up, she was paralyzed from the neck down. And the doctor told her, unfortunately, she would never be able to walk again. They did everything they could, medically speaking, but they came to the end of their ability. And Of course, at 10 years old, she had these doubts. The doctors can't do anything more, and I can't move. She could have stayed there bitter, defeated, discouraged. But she said, God, you did it for me once. I know you can do it for me again. She told the doctors, I walked on here on my own, and I will walk out of here on my own. Every circumstance said she was paralyzed. Her life was limited. But on the inside, she could hear God whispering, you will walk again. There will always be two voices competing for your attention, the voice of doubt and the voice of faith. Often the doubting voices are the loudest. They'll bombard your mind. You'll never get well. You can't break this addiction. Your family will never be restored. You wake up in the middle of the night and those thoughts are still coming. But if you'll get quiet, there's another voice, a still small voice. It's God speaking to you. He's saying, I'm fighting this battle. This too shall pass. You will recover. Healing is coming. Freedom is coming. Abundance is coming. Now you get to choose. Will you let the voice of doubt play? Worry, dwell on all the negative, not going to happen thoughts? Or will you do what Paul said and say, no thanks, I will never doubt what God can do in my life. I will never doubt your mighty power is greater than anything that I'm facing. That's what allows God to do more than you can ask or think. But the tension is, we may doubt our ability. We may have negative thoughts because of the medical report or the financial situation. That's okay. The key is to never doubt what God can do. If you'll take the emphasis off of your ability, what you have, what you can control, and put that emphasis on what God can do, that's how you stay in faith. That's what causes God to show out in your life. When she told the doctors that she was going to walk out of that room after being told that she was permanently paralyzed, she said she felt her toes begin to move. That was the start of a miracle. Little by little, she got better and better. Her therapist told her, out of all of her patients with spina bifida, she was the only one that could walk without a brace. My friend Elena went on to graduate from college. She got her master's degree. Last weekend, I dedicated her baby girl with her husband and her family. Wow. I tried to make it, but I couldn't. That's what happens when you never doubt God's mighty power. Sure, we may doubt what we can do, but we're not on our own. The Most High God is working in your life. He created the universe. He has you in the palm of His hand. You may be in a situation like my friend Elena, where the odds are against you and you don't see a way out. You could easily let all the doubt fill your mind, talk you out of your healing, convince you that you're limited. You have to remember who's on your side. The God who caused Elena to walk when she's supposed to be paralyzed. The God who changed a city council member's mind and we got the compact center. The God who turned David, a shepherd boy, into a king. The God who brought water out of a rock. The God who gave Sarah a baby at 90 years old. The God who took Joseph from the pit to the palace. How about the God who made Elijah invisible to the enemy? The God who gave Isaac 100 times more than he planted in a famine. The God who multiplied those 5 loaves, those 2 fish. Who are we talking about? That's our God. That's our King. Never doubt. Never doubt His mighty power. See, when you live from a place of faith, that's when giants fall. That's when supernatural healing comes. That's when doors open you can't open. That's when God will do infinitely more than you can imagine. A few years ago, we were headed to one of our nights of hope in another city, and we left the hotel and we're headed to the venue, and it started at 7:30. We had plenty of time, but the freeway was all backed up, traffic so bad. Supposed to take 30 minutes, but we'd already been driving an hour and didn't look like we would make it in time. Our assistant called the venue and told them what was happening. They said, "Don't worry, we'll send the police to come get you." These two police officers met us on the freeway. One officer got in our car to drive. He pulled onto the shoulder and started passing everyone up. People were looking at us, honking, like, "What are you doing? Get back in line." He didn't pay any attention. He just kept going. Once the traffic cleared out, he didn't drive the speed limit. He drove 65, 70. We passed by other police officers. When they saw the officer in our car, they just waved. We got downtown. He didn't wait for the light to turn green. If it was clear, he ran the red light. Other officers were on the corner. No problem. They just waved. Here's the point. The reason we could break the law was because the law was riding with us. Without the officer, we'd have probably got pulled over, could have gotten a ticket. But because the law was in our car, we could supersede the speed limit. We weren't bound by normal limitations. In the natural, it may be impossible for you to get well. The laws of medical science, like with Elena, like with my mother, say there's no way. The good news is someone is riding with you that supersedes those laws. God can do what medicine cannot do. He made your body. He can bring healing when there's no explanation, when it doesn't make sense. But if you just focus on the natural, logical, your ability, what the experts say, you're going to live limited because there will be giants you can't overcome by yourself. Dreams you can't accomplish, doubt will come. Discouragement to cause you to shrink back. You have to remind yourself who's riding with you. You're not in that car, so to speak, by yourself. Jesus took the wheel. The Most High God is ordering your steps. The reason you can break the law is the law is riding with you. The God who controls the universe. He's not limited to the laws of nature, laws of science, the laws of finance, the laws of economy. He makes streams in the desert. He caused oil to never run out for 3.5 years for a widow woman, supernatural provision. He sent ravens to feed Elijah by the brook during a famine. We look at our finances and what we make. We run the numbers. If I get this increase and if I save this much, maybe I get a bonus. That's all good. But what God is going to do is not natural. Not ordinary, not something you can calculate. He's not limited to your job, your boss, your talent, the family you come from. He supersedes those things. One touch of His favor will put you into overflow, abundance, more than enough. When you're tempted to doubt, remember who's in your car. This is where Moses missed it. He was in the desert leading the Israelites. God had brought them out of slavery and they were headed toward the promised land, but the people got tired of eating manna each day. It was something like bread that formed on the ground. And they came to Moses complaining, "We don't want this food anymore. We want some meat like we used to have in Egypt." And Moses was frustrated. And he went to God and told them what they were saying. God said, "All right, Moses, I'm going to give you meat, not for a day, not for a week, but for a month. You will have all the meat you could ever want." Moses said, "God, there are 600,000 men out here, plus the women and children. If we butchered all of our flocks, butchered all of our cattle, we wouldn't have that much meat." Moses was only looking at it in his ability, only in what they had. He told God all the reasons it couldn't happen. Too many people, just not possible. When he finally finished, God asked him a simple question. He said, "Moses, when did I become weak?" He was saying, "Did you forget I spoke worlds into existence? I created the universe. Do you think somehow I've lost my power? That I'm all of a sudden at a disadvantage?" God shifted the wind and millions of quail flew from the ocean out into the desert. There were so many quail, they gathered them up all day, all night, and the next day. The scripture says every family gathered no less than 50 bushels. It was Costco size, not one dinner. They got quail in bulk. What's significant is quail don't normally fly that far from the water, way out in the desert, but God shifted the wind and out of the ordinary, all these quail came into their camp. You don't know what God is about to shift for you. We look in the natural, oh man, not me, Joel. I'm stuck in my career. This sickness is permanent. I'll never meet anyone. We're saying, there can't be quail out in the desert. That's not possible. Why don't you tune out all the doubt and get in agreement with God? God, I believe you have some shifts coming my way. Sudden turnarounds, healing, good breaks, abundance, things I can't explain. Never doubt God's mighty power. You may doubt your ability, your strength, your resources, but never doubt what God can do. Now, you may be in a situation today like Moses, and you don't see how it can work out. The facts say it's not going to happen. It's too late, too hard. God is asking you what he asked Moses. When did I become weak? You will never face a giant that God can't bring down. Never an obstacle that he can't help you overcome. Never a dream that he can't bring to pass. Instead of telling him all the reasons it can't happen, why don't you do like David? Look at that obstacle and say, I come against you, not just in my might, not just my ability. I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I know who's driving my car, a God who supersedes natural laws. You wouldn't be hearing this if God wasn't up to something. This is an important time. You have to let faith rise up. You're on the verge of seeing something you've never seen. But the enemy's going to work overtime, trying to talk you out of it. Oh, man, the giant's too big. You can't feed people in the desert. God is saying, never doubt my power to accomplish infinitely more than you could ever imagine. If you'll have this never doubt mindset, I believe and declare you're about to see giants come down. Like Elaine, a supernatural healing. Like Moses, a shift, provision, breakthroughs, abundance, new levels of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen today? Amen. Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, if you can stick with me, we'll just seal it in prayer. Lord, thank you for what we heard today. I know it falls on great ground. Faithful people here at Lakewood, and Lord, we're going out of here with our eyes on you. Lord, I know doubt comes to us all, but we're going to shift over from our ability to what you can do. Lord, we're going to never doubt your mighty power in our work, in our life. Lord, help us to believe. I think even now doubt is leaving. Our eyes are upon you, Lord God. And Lord, like you did for David, that you'll show out in our lives. And even like for Moses, Lord, just supernatural provision and breakthroughs. I speak that over your people. Lord, thank you as they go out this week that you're protecting them, their children, watching after them, giving them a flourishing week in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question before we leave. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity if you died a little while from now? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate and recommit your life to Christ. You need a fresh new start. Well, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it this morning? The enemy in your thoughts, he'll whisper, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. It's so easy. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. I have people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life, you need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be others. Anybody else? Your heart's beating fast? Still time for you. Watching, listening. Up top, still time. Anybody else? They're still standing. Anybody else? Don't be left out. Don't go home without peace. Well, God bless you. And please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. More importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. God's never going to be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. And the scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to pray. Let me help you to call. Would you say it after me? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing. One more moment. I just want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make it a priority for this next year, just like you go to work, that you're going to be here every time you can. I'll make a promise to you. Your life will never be the same for the better before that year is over. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. I know you're busy. You work hard. Sunday may be a day off. You got a lot of things you could be doing. I can promise you this. There is a blessing on your life when you put God first place and get into a community of faith. Love to have you here at Lakewood. You can join one of our teams, choir, usher, greeters, a lot of people. You can meet some lifelong friends here at Lakewood and get plugged in. After service, right over here, there's a room called New Beginnings if you need anything. I'm going to be in the lobby back there. I'd love to meet you. If you can't do it today, I'm out there almost every service after I minister. Love to shake your hand and tell you how glad we are here to have you at Lakewood. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. So write it down in your Bible. June 8th, 2025, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. All right, let me speak the blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. We love you very much. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.